What's up, everyone, and welcome to my show, Witchy Brews Show, Witchy Down, Witchy Podcast, the one and only, the one you're here for. My name is obviously Witchy. This is my show. And today I have a very special guest with us that is kind of like maybe someone you haven't recognized. She's very niche. Danielle DiNicola.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
A cosplayer, a Twitch streamer, a photographer, a voice actress, and it says here you do podcasts as well.
Yeah, yes. It's a small passion project.
Ah, I see. We'll have to plug it at the end, maybe our viewers can see it.
Yeah, I'd love to, you know, cross-pollinate our audience.
Exactly. I love starting off with a bit. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dress Down Podcast. My name is Witchy. It is our 50th episode. I say R like it's mine.
It is
Danielle's 50th episode. So today, for a special treat, we are doing a Uno reverse.
Yes.
A little switcheroo.
Yes.
Where I get to be the interviewer and we get to know Danielle a little bit better.
Yay.
Maybe delve a little bit deeper, get some embarrassing stories, some fun facts.
Amanda knows every embarrassing story about me, I think.
What's crazy is we've only known each other maybe 7 years. And if all of your embarrassing stories have happened in 7 years, there's only one common denominator, which is me. So I hope that's not true, unfortunately.
Well, you also, I feel like you know all of my, most of my stories.
Three stories?
My lore.
Kind
I've
of.
I've told you most of them, I feel.
Every now and then there will be a nugget where I'm like, you did what now when you were in college?
Yeah.
Which is always fun. I think leaving up a little bit of mystery is a good time.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I am going to like start from the way, way back.
Sure.
You're going to just do your whole life.
Okay.
I know that some of the people that watch this podcast will be like, I know this about Danielle. But there's going to be new people out there that don't know that you were raised by the mob. I heard you were raised by the mob in the streets of New York. Okay, wait. Tell us about your childhood. You grew up in New York, right?
Yeah.
Which Florida?
I was born in.
Raised
I never,
by the mob.
Raised by the mob.
Yeah.
The
Danielle
mob.
DiNicola.
Yeah. I was talking to all the rats in the subway.
Pizza rat. Splinter himself.
Yes. I never know what to say when someone asks, where are you from? Because I was born in New York. I moved when I was six, though, to
Still
Florida.
Still got a little bit of New York blood
in
you.
Yeah, I have.
You know,
I mean,
your
I
bagel
remember
order.
New York, but then I was raised in Florida, and I went to like school in Florida.
Yeah.
So I never know what to say to that. I usually say I was born in New York and raised in Florida.
Yeah.
Because I have said New York before, and I've had people be like,
you
weren't
what
raised
borough?
In New York.
Yeah.
You moved away.
And you were upstate.
Yeah. Yes.
But at the same time,
I think
that New Yorkers, the state of New Yorkers, have such pride in their state that even if you were born there on a vacation, they're like, oh, my fellow New Yorker, you know? Like, we
That's
were
fair.
Out recently and we met some guys from Jersey that we were talking to. And I was like, I always do this where I'm like, she's from New York. I like throw that out there and she's like, well, actually, I lived in Florida. And they were like, one of us immediately.
Well, it's also an East Coast, West Coast thing in general because here in LA, there's a lot of people who are, I would say, nice but not kind.
Sure.
Whereas the overall vibe of the East Coast is kind but not nice.
Yeah, I agree.
So when you find somebody here who is from the East Coast, it's like camaraderie immediately because you speak the same social language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah, you see it and you're like, do you really want to talk to me or are you just pretending to want to talk to me?
Exactly.
But then you meet someone from the East Coast and they're like, what the fuck is up?
Yeah.
Do you want to fucking drink?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I do actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
let's talk for the rest of the night.
Exactly. And they're like, you did something that pissed me off. And it's like, oh, thank you for telling me that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to know.
It didn't fester.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I agree. Yeah. But I do love living in the West Coast, though.
Me
I
too.
Would say. Yeah,
me too.
It's a nice change.
I love LA. I'm glad we moved
here. This is not us being haters on Los Angeles, I promise.
No, but no.
We just love meeting the East Coast people.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So just you
way of life.
Were a little six-year-old. They mm-hmm. said, pack it up. Pack we're it moving up. It to the great state of Florida.
On a train.
What?
We moved on a train.
What? You didn't even like drive?
My dad
That sounds drove. Magical.
We took my brother, my mom, and I were on a train.
An Amtrak?
I don't remember. I remember being in like a bedroom.
Oh, bougie.
Yeah.
Y'all got the room?
There was a bed. There's a bunk bed.
She's rich.
But that's all I got.
Was that like the last Youngin. Time you rode a train? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never done like an overnight train trip.
Yeah, but
you did it at six.
I think we should change that because Bridget loves trains.
Yeah, I would change that too, but they're like $9 million.
Are they?
Yeah. If you want a bed on a train just to like go to Portland, it's $1,500 or something stupid. You could get like two flights.
That's crazy.
So that's like why people don't take trains.
Interesting.
If you want a seat, mm-hmm. it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But if it's like an overnight train trip, it's like... Mm-hmm. Bust out the credit card, you know?
Damn.
Like,
I didn't know it was that expensive.
And for $5 from each of you, we can make our train trip dreams come true.
Subscribe
Donate and
Patreon.
Subscribe now. We'll go on a side country train trip and yes. film the whole thing.
Yep.
And bring Bridget.
You heard it here first.
Donate a little bit more because the snacks are expensive on that bad boy. So you took a train. You, Ocala is the first place you live, or lower?
Gainesville.
Lower.
Yeah. Gainesville. Where UCF, not UCF.
The Gators.
University of Florida, the yeah. Gators.
It's my dad's favorite football team.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people's favorite football team. Yeah. My dad, I guess at some point in his life, went to Tallahassee or lived in Tallahassee, which is FSU, yeah. which is their rival. So my dad had an FSU license plate, and he would frequently get egged in Gainesville, Florida, by the University of Florida fans.
Men are weird.
I know.
Who cares?
I know.
Like, it's fine.
I remember
it's
getting
no
egged.
No big deal. What? Why did y'all move to Florida?
My dad worked in Florida. He had businesses in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and he would fly or drive back and forth. I don't remember. And eventually it just became annoying. So yeah. he was like, we should just move here where all my stuff is.
Love that.
And we did.
And it was crazy. Yeah.
Gainesville was fun to grow up in, though. In true Florida fashion, there was a pond that had an alligator in it.
Sure.
And we would all, the neighborhood kids would go and sit on the wall
uh-huh.
of the pond with the alligator
and
in it.
And dangle your little toesies
in? Dangle our toes. And then we would play a game to see who could run around the pond. We would drop down and we would do a lap. And we would see who could do it the fastest with the alligator.
Do you know that alligators can run 60
yes!
miles an hour?
I know that as an adult
You
now.
Didn't know that as a kid?
No. There was no concept of danger as a child.
Those boys are fast.
Yeah, I know.
They literally let you live because they didn't feel like killing you.
Yes, absolutely.
That's nuts. You were like, here's a snack.
Not proud of it.
My toesies.
But that is
my dogs.
A memory I have. Yeah.
Did y'all ever get chased?
No.
Okay, yeah. He was just like, I don't want to fucking deal with you guys.
What the fuck is going
yeah.
on? You're stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even going to bother with you guys.
Stupid kids. Yeah.
I wonder how he's doing. Alligators live for forever. He's probably still there.
Probably.
We should go visit him.
I think we should. Yeah.
So you went to college in Florida as well.
Mm-hmm.
Studied graphic design and photography.
Right? Yes. At a certain point, I studied graphic design. I went for mass communications, creative advertising.
You're massively communicating to people right now.
I am.
You don't even need a degree.
We did it.
Yeah, look at us.
I moved to Ocala. That's where I went to high school. And then I went to Tampa for college, which is USF.
Okay.
Which I would like to bring this up. USF stands for University of South Florida.
Yeah.
And Tampa is
not
so
in the south.
North. Like, if you were to cut Florida in half, I'm almost positive Tampa would be in the northern hemisphere of Florida. And it's also right next to UCF in Orlando, which is Central Florida.
University of Central Florida.
Yeah.
Was it an offshoot campus?
No, it was the main campus.
They're like, it's like when our sweet friend Andrew was like, "You're not on the west side," and we were like, "We're one block away."
He's our next guest on the podcast.
Great. Y'all are in for a treat, guys.
Sigils.
51. You should ask him about the west side.
I will.
Yeah, you should.
I will.
So can you make him draw a map? Like live. Print one out and be like, "Where's the west side?"
I will.
You know?
Yeah.
South Florida in Tampa. Crazy. You studied graphic design, photography. Was it there? Were you always like creative your whole life?
Yeah. Wow. I went to, I actually, in high school, you know how you're zoned for a school? In Ocala, I was zoned for a specific school and then didn't want to go there anymore. So I tested into a different school.
Nice.
And then I didn't want to go there anymore.
Picky.
So I applied to an arts high school.
Oh, nice.
To do photography, and they accepted me.
Fine.
So I went to the same middle school, the campus, and the middle school and the high school were attached, but I went back there because I had friends there too. So I went to a photography high school.
Cool. Yeah. Do you still have those photos? Like a photo bucket somewhere?
I'm sure that I do. I actually won second place in a contest. And when I looked at the, I found the photo the other day.
What is it?
And it was like a black and white emo Tumblr kid portrait photo.
You're like I in drew a sewer
lips.
Grate.
Yeah. I drew lips on my fingers and I put them up to my face.
Silence.
And it won. It won. It won an award.
They said, "She's beautiful. She should become a model." Oh, that's funny. I want you to post them. If you subscribe to the Patreon, you can see that photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to find it.
I will
actually don't. That might not be true. She needs to see if she can find it, but
I think it's on the internet somewhere on like a website.
Oh, yeah. Get it down. Make it for the Patreon.
I'll find it.
Yeah, done. You studied graphic design, you studied photography, you were in the college League of Legends team.
I went to Tampa for mass communications. I switched to graphic design, then I switched back to creative advertising, or mass comm, but that was my specialization.
Yeah.
With a minor in psychology, but I played on, there was like college tournaments and I played on one of them with some of my friends that I worked with who also went there and were also good at League of Legends.
Yeah.
We worked together at Coldstone Creamery.
Did you meet them and they were like, "Hey, there's this game called League," or did you already play? Were you already playing? Like, what got you in?
I played when League of Legends started. Open beta.
Do you think that's caused any long-term mental damages?
It absolutely has. I think I have brain damage from Riot
any
games.
Aggression that pops up regularly.
I need to send Riot Games a therapy bill. It was I was obsessed with World of Warcraft in high school, and then all of my friends who I played World of Warcraft with jumped on League, and then I played League with them every night for hours. And then in college I met Momo.
Because, who was a guest?
We had a mutual friend. They were putting together an all girls team.
Fuck yeah.
So I joined them. We were very bad. We lost almost every game. But
it was rigged.
I also played on a different team doing like college tournaments and stuff.
Nice.
And we were better than the all girls team, that team, but we also weren't that good.
You know what? It was,
but it was
fluke.
Fun.
You just didn't want to show off.
Yeah.
Gun to my head, I don't know anything about League, famously, except Arcane. Mm-hmm. Do you have positions?
Yes.
Okay, what was your position?
There's top, middle,
got it,
and two bottom.
That's crazy. That's nuts. Hey, are you a top, a bottom? No, I'm a middle.
I'm a mid. I'm a verse.
That's crazy.
I roam.
Yeah. League, what is going on?
A jungler. A jungler.
That sounds even worse somehow in the context of that.
What did you think? What do you think I was? Based on knowing absolutely no- Actually, let me give you a rundown. Without me giving you any context whatsoever.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you think I was?
Wait, you don't want to give me any context?
I would like before and after.
Can I ask if you were like support or like, is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do support or like?
So that's bot lane.
That's what I figured. That's why I was asking you, because mm-hmm. there's two people there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I feel like you were mid lane or bottom. Were you a jungler? Were you top?
No.
What were you?
Bottom.
Ah, let's go.
Yeah.
It's easy to guess.
I was AD carry and support, but mostly support.
AD carry. Yes, mm-hmm. I know what that means.
Glass cannon, damage dealer,
marksman,
okay. If you will.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy game for babies vibes. Mm-hmm. 1v1 mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. situation.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. She's tried to make me play League before. She's been very nice. We've done ARAMs. I just don't get it. I don't understand. I've tried TFT too. Mm-hmm. Morgan tried to show me that. It was just like, this is cool, guys.
I think it's better for your life, your quality of life as a whole if you don't play League of Legends.
Yes.
So that's good.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
But you played World of Warcraft and League. If you had to choose between one, what one would you choose?
I would choose WoW.
Yeah. MMOs are great.
Yeah. Even though I haven't played it in many years.
Like formative to you as a person?
Yeah. And if I were to go back and play, I know I would have fun.
Yeah.
Whereas League, I've said before on this podcast, gives you your highest highs and your lowest lows.
Sure.
And I would rather just like be consistently having fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, not as exciting.
It's just like hanging out with your friends and doing some dungeons together.
Exactly.
I've only played Final Fantasy 14. As an MMO, like I don't play World of Warcraft, but is it big PvP or is it mainly PvE?
You can do either.
Either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the same. That
and
makes
you,
sense.
What when I
so
played,
it's as stressful as you want it to be.
Yes, exactly. When I played, you had different. It's probably the same, but you had different armor sets for which thing you wanted to do. So you could.
So you don't have to get ganked.
Yes. Yeah. If you like were a PvPer. That's what you were excited about, like doing arena and stuff, like duels. You would like focus on that gear specifically.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard tales of Pipjub. So
my boy.
Pipjub. Who's Pipjub? Tell the people about Pipjub.
That's so cute. Pipjub was my so when I played WoW, I was a undead warlock. Mm-hmm. And as a warlock, you could spec into demonology.
Cool.
Like your skill tree. And you were able to summon your little companions for different things. And my little guy's name was Pipjub.
Yeah.
He was my little demon guy.
We need a pet.
I agree.
Name him Pipjub.
I love that.
That's
that
cute.
That would be awesome.
In Final Fantasy, I also am a summoner, which gets a pet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's like vibes.
Yeah. You could summon this big void walker, like genie guy, and he would like go and tank for you. There was a succubus, hot lady with a whip. And then you're like little imp. My little imp was
Pipjub.
And
that was Pipjub.
Yeah. He would throw little fireballs and laugh at people. It was awesome.
Vibes.
I love him.
We should go home and play MMOs. What a good time.
I agree.
Screw any other plans. You know what? We're done, guys. We're going to go play.
You know what I've been playing right now is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Yeah, I keep seeing you play that.
Yeah.
While I'm playing Expedition 33.
Yeah.
What, how, is it good?
It's really fun.
Yeah?
It's really fun in, It took me a minute to think it was fun.
Yeah.
But I had already sunk a couple hours in. Mm-hmm. So my sunk cost fallacy prevented me from quitting.
You had to like it.
Yeah. I talked to Lloyd about this when he was here. And he said he tried it. And when you die, you have to go back to the last time you saved. But you can't save whenever you want. So yeah. It turns people off.
Sure.
Because of that.
Yeah.
And that happened to me too immediately. And I was like waffling between never playing it ever again and just doing everything over because it was a lot that I had to redo. But I ended up doing it over and I ended up really, I'm in the game now.
Yeah.
I'm
really you were in the trenches and now you're like sold.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can you compare it to another game?
It's kind of like campy Dragon Age.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
But the thing about it that's weird and different is that you have to, it's way more open world than Dragon Age, where if you do something like steal somebody's clothes, they will be naked for the rest of the game. Or if you...
There's no repercussions.
Well,
there are, but...
Yeah. Like, it affects everything.
Yeah.
Where if you try to steal from somebody, like pickpocket them and you fail and they notice, they'll tell the guards and then the guards will remember you in that town forever until you, like, go serve jail time or, like, pay off your fine.
Skyrim does that too, though, right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. Exactly. I haven't really played Skyrim, though.
What?
So. Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
Oh, you need to play that. There's so many mods for it now. You can like ride mm-hmm. My Little Ponies around mm-hmm. instead of mm-hmm. horses.
I have never played a game with mods because I'm like a weird purist. But I think that
fair.
Would be fun.
I mean, I get that. I understand. And they like kind of mess up your computer sometimes or your game.
Yeah.
I put a mod on Baldur's Gate and mm-hmm. it corrupted my game and I had to start over. And
I remember that.
Heartbreaking.
That would be devastating.
Yeah, I was in Act Two and I was like, what if I kill myself? You know, like, what if it ends for me today?
Yeah,
but I don't know. I enjoy it. But if you're playing this game, it sounds like Skyrim. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. You have to mix your own potions.
Is that what Lloyd talked about?
Yes.
Potions by hand?
Yes.
Okay.
Like if you want to make a savior, like a save potion mm-hmm. to use to save the game, you have to find an alchemy bench. You have to get all of the ingredients. You have to boil a pot. You have to add the things in at the right time. Mix them in at the right time. Grind them up a certain way. Add the right base. Do the thing, take it off the heat, cure it or whatever, and then you get a save potion. But it like takes a while.
That sounds so fun to me. I would love to do that. However, you just also described cooking, which is something we both hate doing.
Yes.
But we want to do it in the game.
Do you know how many times I've used the alchemy bench?
How many?
Zero.
Okay. That makes more sense. I thought you liked it.
I will steal save potions.
Oh, that's an option. I would do that too.
Yeah.
I would do that. I was going to say, can you buy them?
I've never made something for fun that wasn't something I had to do for a quest. I simply buy everyone I see at an inn and also steal them.
Yeah.
And I have never had a problem.
What is
so
a save
far.
Potion? Does it save the game?
Yeah.
This is reminding me of the time that you were playing Baldur's Gate and you never slept.
Mm-hmm.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like there are major mechanics in games that you just ignore.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Absolutely.
And that might be a character flaw that we should talk about.
It is a character flaw.
At some point. This girl, okay. We were playing Baldur's Gate. Uh-huh. We both played it at the same time. We were both in love with it. We both had our respective handhelds because we were moving. We didn't have our PCs because we shipped them in a pod.
Yes.
Wait, or was that? Okay. Anyways, I digress. So we're playing it and I'm like, oh my God, I'm having so much sex in this game. It's crazy. Did you have sex with the bear? That's nuts. And Danielle was like, no one's trying to have sex with me. And
I was like, pretty upset.
What? And I was like, what act are you in? And she's like, act two, like almost done with act two. And I was like, what do you mean? No, are you like denying every conversation? Continue the story.
What happened was I had a weird complex as I was playing this game where, as I play all games, which is I want to complete everything. And in order to do that, I can't waste any time doing anything unimportant. So I didn't realize that camping was important. And I would just heal myself and continue playing. Like I did act two almost the entire way through, just healing myself and using potions and never going back to camp to sleep.
It is important to say that she was a ranger who doesn't use spell slots.
Yes.
So you never had to like go reset your spell slots.
No,
so
and
it felt like sleeping was purely optional.
Optional, yeah. Absolutely. Will did run out of spell slots and then he was useless for the entire game.
Did you think about maybe sleeping?
No.
And giving them back to him? You're no. Like, ah, fuck it, he's done.
No, but there
let's
was something.
Let's put him out to pasture.
There was like a skill or something where you, or like a potion where you could drink it and get them back. Or like a skill that he had like.
Short rest.
Something like that.
But I think you do that at camp.
I don't remember.
Oh my.
I was able to fix it.
Anyways, Danielle was like, nobody's trying to have sex with me. And I was like, when was the last time you camped? And she was like, I don't know. Never. And I was like, what do you mean never? You have to. And she's like, actually, I don't. And I was like, you have to go to camp right now.
I don't. And I didn't.
And you didn't. And then you went to camp. And what happened?
I had 4 million sex scenes continuously right after the other.
Her character had an absolute train ran off her. It was crazy. I have it filmed of you being like, what's happening?
Yeah, it was, I went back to camp. You made me go to camp and sleep. You were like, stop what you're doing right now. Go to camp and sleep. I remember I was in like the sewers or something.
Yeah.
And what was it? It was Halsin. It was Shadowheart. It was
Will's deity, patron. I can't remember her name. Starts with an M. Not Minthara. Minda. Is it an
I
M?
Think it is Minthara.
Minthara is the drow, right?
Well, I don't
the drow
remember.
That you kick off the bridge or you welcome her to your party that you can't have with Halsin.
Oh. Well, whatever her name
whatever
was.
Whatever her name was. The hot one with the horns and the fur.
Mm-hmm.
Worst sex scene in the game, I'd say.
It was the worst sex scene in the game. I
She's
was
like,
so
this
disappointed
is
with
tantric
that.
Tantric instead of physical.
So boring.
You're in the planet of lust. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Touch me a little bit. What's going
or
on?
Or don't, I guess. Yeah. And I was trying to romance Will. So then when it was over, he was standing there like, what the fuck?
It was so funny because she loved Will. And I was like, she was like, oh, his deity is trying to romance me. And I was like, do it. And she was like, will it have any repercussions with me and Will? And I was like, absolutely not. He'll never know.
Me.
She was so upset when it ended and he was there like clutching his pearls.
He was like, no. He was like, what the fuck is that? Are you kidding me right now? And I was like, oh no. It's but fine. Then also the emperor. We had tentacles. We had the bear. We had a demon woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I was like, oh.
It was great.
I didn't know.
Yeah. And then I taught her how to play Baldur's Gate. Mm-hmm. I feel like you do the games the hard way, but that's fun for you.
I do, but because I don't think about that stuff. Also, I don't have a lot of experience with D&D and like problem solving in that way.
Yeah.
So I was playing the game very straightforward. And when you said, I was telling Amanda that I had to kill this entire camp. I had to funnel them through the doorway and kill them one by one. There were so many of them. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how people did that quest. It was really hard. And
absolutely.
Amanda's like, oh, I just went around and I grabbed some barrels and I placed them and then I shot them from really far away. Then everybody blew up in one fell swoop. And I was like, what?
Knock that chandelier down and a bunch of oil and the whole place explodes.
Yeah.
That
I didn't even
fun.
Think of doing that.
It's a good time. Yeah, a lot of people couldn't figure out how to like defeat Minthara before she reached some point, but I never got there because I just kicked her off the bridge. She fell to her death. No problem, no witnesses, you know? And then there's a goblin that's next to her and he's like, hello? And you're like, here's 20 gold. This stays between you and I. Like, that's it. That's D&D.
You opened my eyes to the possibilities of the game.
Absolutely.
Though, I'll say. I didn't realize that that was an option until you did that.
And it's then always an option.
The fight, I think it was Orin, the fight that's on the pedestal.
Yep.
And because I was a ranger, I had those arrows that would knock people back. Mm-hmm. So I used those to just knock everybody off the platform. It was like the easiest fight of all time.
Yeah, using sunlight on the vampire. Mm-hmm. Done. Mm-hmm. He's cooked.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of us as people.
Yeah.
Like if we were in a bar fight, I feel like you would be like, a gentleman's ways with our fists. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, let's break a bottle.
How do I win?
Yeah.
How do I win?
Let's break a bottle. You're kind and like with the rule. Like you're not a stickler for rules, but that's just how your brain works. Yeah. You're like, I will do this with my might.
A true Libra. Yeah. Must be balanced. Must be fair.
Correct.
Yes.
Like both pistols are loaded and they're the same. And I'm like, count. I actually took his bullets out. We're fine. Like, don't even worry about it.
We balance each other
out. If you had D&D stats, what would your D&D stats be, do you think?
I always say that of the like big six, I think mine would be constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen you cut your finger off and you're like, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Constitution, or if I had to not pick constitution, maybe intelligence.
Or wisdom.
Or wisdom. One of the two. Wisdom.
You don't think it would be charisma?
Maybe.
Yeah.
No one wants to say that it would be charisma, though.
Mine would be charisma.
Yours would definitely be charisma.
Unfortunately.
Fortunately for me. I get to reap those benefits.
That's true. I get to reap the benefits of you just being an absolute constitution beast.
Yeah, I do think it's constitution.
I'll be like, Danielle, I can't open this jar. She's like, I got it.
Yeah, it's just that I'll never give up. Yeah. And that's a beige flag, not a green flag, I'll say. Because sometimes it's better to just stop. And I'm like, no, I won't stop until I figure it out.
I'm doing black tar heroin and I refuse to stop. You know, that's how you're framing it. But you're like, I'm just determined to see through my goals.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know?
That's a very,
Yeah, I feel like you wouldn't be where you were today if you didn't have a high constitution. Thanks. When I tell you this girl once, like, I think it was like you cut your nail off or something.
There's
or you
been
stepped
many.
On a nail once. And I was like with her and she was like, ow, a nail went through my foot. And I'm like, are you good? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. That's crazy. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I get a paper cut. I'm like, where's the Advil?
I have a good pain tolerance, I'll say. Yeah. Cosplay really drove that in. I also played a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And I was always injured in some capacity, so I got used to it, but
what's your most gnarliest bone you've broken?
I've never broken a bone.
What? Yeah, your constitution's so high. Yeah. You have carbon fiber bones.
I'm a good faller. That is something soccer taught me for sure. I'm very clumsy, but my catches are dexterous, solid. I'll say.
I see that when you're snowboarding.
Yeah.
You're like, boop. Yeah. We're fine.
Yeah, yeah. Roll out of it or something. Yeah.
Knock it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had pretty gnarly cosplay injuries.
What is the worst?
The worst is there's two. For people watching or listening, this is graphic, so you're warning. But
I'll actually do a recreation video while she says it.
Yeah.
We'll play it right here.
Black and white.
Yeah. Like an old timey video.
Yeah. The first was I was working on a costume for Bandai Namco. Mm-hmm. It was a trading card game called Battle Spirit Saga. And they needed – I was friends with the guy who put me up for the job, and he gave me a list of three characters. And he was like, which one do you want to be? And I was like, any one of them except the yellow one with the wings. And he was like, sick, sick, sick. So you actually are the yellow one with the wings.
Literally.
That was the illusion of choice, but the other two are already taken.
The worst costume that she could have gotten. I don't know if they've, if you haven't seen a photo of it, look, what is their name again?
I don't remember her name.
Do you
still have
a photo? Can we like put it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This is it. Right here. The worst one that you could possibly do. That gives me nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
I still think about that night.
The troops were rallied for that.
It was
cosplay.
My birthday.
Yeah.
It was my birthday that night, because we went out to my birthday dinner and you were like, well, this cosplay's due, but it is your birthday, so let's go out. And I was like, nah, let's all go back and work on that costume.
Yeah. It was nuts. It had like a 12-foot wingspan. I've never made wings that like that before, ever. They were all out of foam, and they were all like tiered, like levels. So I had every pin in the entire, like, that we've ever owned all over the living room, holding pieces of foam together that I was gluing together. And I ran out, so I used hand sewing needles. Mm-hmm. And I was rushing around, working as fast as humanly possible. And I jumped over the couch and I walked right on top of a sewing needle, a hand sewing needle. And the top, like the thicker part of the hand sewing needle,
went
so far into my foot. It was like an inch deep, I want to say, or at least half an inch deep. And I jumped on the other leg over to the couch and tried to pull it out, and it wasn't coming out. And I was like, what the fuck? But I was so...
Didn't you get pliers? We had like pliers and pulled it out.
I did.
It was like, have you ever seen those movies where someone gets shot with an arrow and they break the end off and they're like, and they pull it through their leg and they're like, let's keep going.
That's how it was.
It was like you had a deadline the next day, I think you had to leave, and you were like looking at your foot and you just like grab pliers and you clamp it and you just like,
I
and you're like, let's go.
It's like, I don't have time for this.
You didn't actually have time for that, but it was still crazy to watch.
Yeah, I did. I forgot about the pliers. I took pliers, I ripped it out, I put a Band-Aid on it, we kept it moving.
Yeah, and I mean, when you do step on needles in our house, it is because of you and that costume, and that is the only reason that there are needles in the carpet. So I need you to remember that. That was all your fault. You said that was one of two gnarly ones. Go ahead. What's the second one?
Amanda leaves sewing needles.
No, I don't. This is fallacy.
All over.
Hearsay.
Uses the couch as a pin cushion.
I'm just going to sue you.
The other one was when I was hired to do Starship Troopers. Extermination, the mobile game. They hired me to do the Starship Troopers costume. And I wasn't used to the weather in LA, because in Florida, spray paint works differently because of
does.
The humidity. And
worse, I would
here,
say.
It doesn't dry the same if the sun's not out because of how different daytime and nighttime is. So you can't really spray paint at night here. For cosplay. So I was trying to get it done. I was on a deadline, but I sleep late.
Yeah.
So there
we only have
only
4 hours of daylight.
I don't have a lot of daylight. So I kept trying to spray paint and it kept cracking.
Yeah.
And it was driving me nuts. And so I stripped the paint for like a third time. And I had this huge can of what is it called?
Acetone?
Not paint thinner, acetone. And acetone. And I was dumping it on the foam, and I was using a sanding block to sand off, to strip the paint.
Yeah.
And I have acrylic nails that are permanently adhered to my real nails.
They are, aren't they?
And I was sanding the paint off and my middle fingernail caught on the like edge of the foam on the breastplate, and it ripped the nail up, and it took it ripped the fake nail up, and it took my real nail up with it. And there was like 1 centimeter left of my nail hanging on by a thread, and it was the weirdest pain I've ever experienced in my whole life, and it was bleeding so much. Yeah, I did.
Crazy. People get their fingernails.
My fingernail off. Ugh. And I was so scared it was never going to grow back.
It did. It like left the right amount of nail.
Yeah.
For it, just the littlest amount of nail for it to grow back.
Yeah.
And we were looking. This is also one of Danielle's traits that I wouldn't say is a fault, but it hurts me, is that when she gets injured and I'm not around, she's like, I'm gonna send you a picture. And I'm like, wait, I don't want to see it. And she's like, it's already sent.
Every angle.
I know, literally. She's like, look at it with your eyeballs, see it with your eyes, feel my pain.
And I'm like, loves company.
I can't even look at kids getting like hit over with a bouncy ball. I'm like, ow, that hurts. So seeing that, I was like, I'm going to throw up. And then I was like, well, wait a second. There's a little bit of nail there. You might be good.
Yeah.
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 And slowly but surely.
And I was.
You were. Our friend Cheyenne She's was back. Like, we can put a nail on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
She came back.
How long did it take you to get that nail back? A year?
Only a few months, actually.
Wow. Yeah. You have great vitamin levels then, I guess.
I guess.
Nails are growing fast.
I'm vitamin D deficient.
Aren't we all
in the sun enough?
Need more D?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I do.
We should go get our levels checked for real soon.
Yeah.
Let's go to Japan and get the full body scan.
Would you do it? Yes.
Do you think it would make you crazy? I'm nervous that it'll make me into more of a hypochondriac.
I am a person who would rather know all the information, even if the information's bad.
Yeah.
Control freak in that way.
Yeah.
So I would fair.
I feel like they're going to tell me the vitamins that I need to take, and like everything else, I'm just not going to take them. We have vitamins all over our house just so – because are you good at taking pills?
No.
Yeah. I know that about you, actually. She'll be like, I thought I took this medicine and I don't remember, so I took it again. And I'm like, what is it? And it's definitely not something that you should take twice.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like vitamin D, you know, and that's fine. But we do have vitamins all over our house, so we can just be like, oh. Reach in, eat them. And yours are always gummy.
Yeah, vitamins. That's the only way I'll take them. I know myself, especially because you need to take it with food, and sometimes I'm not hungry. And when I remember to take the vitamin, it might not be the right time to take the vitamin.
And it's a little treat. It's a little treat to take your vitamins,
isn't it?
It's like candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well. I feel like I've derailed you so much about your career. Can we get into how you've gotten into cosplay?
Sure.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's rewind. Okay. You were on a League of Legends team. You met your friend Momo. Were you into cosplay before that, or did you get into cosplay after that?
After that, I was always a weird nerd kid, and I was going to conventions with my friends in Tampa.
For what purpose? Just to hang?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a invited walk. You. Look at Artist Alley. Fun. Look at the dealer's room. I always liked going to cons. And I had friends who cosplayed, and I never cosplayed because I was way too nervous. I was just really shy. I'm still shy. It depends on the day how shy I am, but that's my default. And I wanted to. It seemed fun, but I was like, no, not me, not me. You guys do it, though. It's fun. I'm happy for you, but not me. And then Momo was like, what if I make you like a duo cosplay with me?
Launch.
Would you wear it?
Yeah.
And because it was from Dragon Ball Z, I was like, okay, sure, I guess. And it did take a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah. What I love about that cosplay is that she is the same person. Y'all are vastly two different looking people.
Yes.
So Momo, for those who don't know, is like 5 feet tall, I would say.
Yeah.
5'1".
Yeah.
Let me give her another inch. And Launch is a character that sneezes and becomes another person.
So we were we were supposed to be the same person. She was the blue-haired version of her, which is like the sweet version of her. And I was the aggressive one with a gun.
Yeah.
But we were walking around together as both versions of Launch, mm-hmm. but she was like a foot shorter, like a whole foot shorter than me.
Pay no attention.
But it was still really fun.
And then you got bit by the cosplay bug.
Yeah. I went home and immediately wanted to make Android 18.
Yeah.
And then source it all of the League of Legends characters.
Yeah. Were you like all in after that? Were you like, I'm going to learn how to make it all YouTube? When did you decide that you wanted to like pursue it as a career?
Oh, great question. I was having fun. Because I did photography, I was able to take my own photos.
Sure.
And that was really fun. So I remember the first photo shoot I did of myself was Teemo from League of Legends, mm-hmm. little baby in a park. And that was right as I was about to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved to Orlando shortly after to like work there. I had friends over there. And I kept cosplaying. I was having fun with it, but I also knew people in Orlando who were also doing it. And I cold messaged David Love.
Oh, yeah.
To do my photos.
Photographer?
Because I did graphic design and mm-hmm. he did all the photo manipulation, Photoshop
which was like
stuff.
The thing back
yeah,
then,
it was
I would
really
say.
Cool.
Yeah. I feel like that's what really set you apart from the other cosplayers that I knew. Is that you had those photos.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, she must be rich. She's got Marvel making her photos. It's just David Love in his house. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, he's amazing. And he is so good at composites.
Yeah.
And it was rare. And it still is rare. So I was really excited that he wanted to shoot. He shot Android 18 and Tinkerbell. And we just started working together a lot after that.
I feel like his photos and all the haul shots that you posted mm-hmm. were what set your Instagram apart.
Yeah. I moved to Orlando. I was really excited about doing cosplay because I couldn't find a job mm-hmm. anywhere at an ad agency, which is mm-hmm. what I was supposed to be doing sure. with my degree. And like storyboarding commercials and like pitching like marketing, like creative campaigns and stuff like that, like Got Milk. And mm-hmm. stuff.
You did Got Milk. I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's crazy.
That was me. You got me.
You know that campaign Got Milk?
Not to brag.
I invented Post-its.
But I needed to do something and I like have a lot of energy to harness
for work ethic.
So I was doing what I would do for another company, but for myself, mm-hmm. where I was posting every day. I would post 3 times a day. That was before carousels. So it was like one photo and I had so many photos. Like I would go to a con, I'd have a ton of haul shots.
Yeah.
I'd do a photo shoot. I had like 20 photos. So it was easy
to
do that.
When the timeline was the timeline.
Yeah.
Like it was in order of time from people that you follow. None mm-hmm. of this algorithm bullshit or like, you may like mm-hmm. this. Like it was like the golden age of Instagram, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. And it was working. Like I was gaining followers really fast on Instagram
mm-hmm.
Because I was posting so much. And I started doing armor stuff. That was what I was really excited about. So I did this like Thresh from League of Legends that went kind of viral and then viral at the time. But I was just like excited. I was working really hard. I also lived with Momo at that time as well in Orlando. And I had friends who were doing it there. And so I moved to South Florida.
Oh, that's right. Living in that hot house.
Yes, yes, exactly. In a garage.
She was living in a garage. I don't want to say that
for
now.
For about a year. Yeah, well, I was living in my friend's garage, which was not converted, by the way, in Florida.
Yeah, it was just a garage.
It was just a garage.
I can't imagine con crunching in a garage. That's nuts.
Well, it was rough, but I eventually found a like room to rent and I moved out of the garage. But I was just kind of grinding. I did end up finding a job, like a social media job, and I was doing both.
And it sucked.
It sucked a lot. Yeah, it was I like a startup bartering company.
Bartering company.
I would love to explain it to you.
Do you have a pig?
Yes.
I have a goat.
Yes.
Okay, go on and tell me more about it. Yes. What are you talking about? Yes.
It was a bartering company. They would like cold call businesses and be like, would you like to go get into our network? And instead of money, you like trade services to like the other people in the network. So if there was a woodworking company and somebody needed a table, then
and it was an ophthalmologist and one guy needed a new eye.
Yeah, but it would you'd like trade around. So if like someone needed a table, what does the table guy need? And then we would call that guy and then that guy would give the table guy, but then what does that guy need? You know what I mean? And you just like continuously do that forever.
Okay. It's a solid
it's a concept.
General idea.
Yes.
I can see that working perfect for the people that are going to Burning Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but for the everyday life, cash is king, unfortunately. Right.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
I ended up, I actually got my third interview at Riot at that time. And I was gonna, I was hoping.
I didn't even know you interviewed for Riot.
Yeah, I made it to the third round.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And
right,
I
messed up.
Bombed the last interview, unfortunately.
How?
I just panicked. Social anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
got me.
They're
got
like,
me
tell
good.
Me your credentials, and you were like, iLeague.
Yeah.
iLeague Legends.
Yeah. It was very.
Bot lane.
Yeah. I nailed the second interview. I was so excited. And the third interview, the woman was like asking me questions, and I was like,
She had an intimidating air about her.
Yeah.
I had one of those with Disney where it was like, you would bully me in high school.
Yes.
I feel like you were, if it was the other guy that interviewed me, it would have been great, but you would have bullied me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very intimidating and I bombed it and I didn't get it. But I ended up leaving that company and working for Shirley at the eye doctor at Lens Crafters. I was the doctor's assistant, which you don't need doctor experience for or eye experience whatsoever.
It's where you learned that you can't sleep in your contacts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I saw some gnarly things at that job.
You've told me.
Yeah, I know. I try to scare you on purpose so you stop sleeping in your contacts and you won't do it.
I take great care of my eyes. Never done that in my life.
Amanda's still to this
day. She keeps lying about me on this podcast, and this is my podcast. I will remove you. What were you saying? Amanda what?
Amanda's still to this day is like, we could just layer the contacts on top of each other. And I was like, no, we can't.
We are planning something that we can't talk about right now for a friend of ours. And for that thing, we have to wear scleras. And Danielle was talking to me, or it was in the group chat, actually, I think. And it was like, there's no prescription. I need prescription. And I was like, just layer your regular contacts on top. You can do it. It'll be like 30 minutes. Simply what could go wrong?
Not responding to that.
The amount of times I've layered contacts is a lot. And it's been fine every time.
Just because
you can.
You use a knife unsafely and never chop your finger off doesn't mean that the chances of you chopping your finger off are low. They're always high. You just keep getting away with it.
Maybe I have the strong constitution.
Dexterity, luck.
Oh my God.
Dexterity and luck.
Okay, so you were working for this bartering company in the garage. This is looking up. Things are looking great for you.
My life to peak.
Yeah. This is the best point of your
can't
life.
Even go
those
up
golden
from here.
Good old days.
Then at Lens Crafters, then at then I started working in a call center, just checking people's insurance. It was more, it paid more. And I convinced them, I charisma rolled my way into a social media job instead of
charisma.
A call center position because their social media woman left. And
it's always a woman.
Yeah.
Anyways,
they let me switch. And so I was doing that. But I was still cosplaying. In South Florida, there was Shirley. There was a bunch of other people. And we were hustling. I was cold emailing cons all over Florida because there's so many.
Yeah.
Especially in South Florida, everything's kind of close.
And it's why I wanted to move to Florida at first.
Oh, yeah, really?
There's just a good cosplay community out there. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of cons.
So many cons, and all of them are within like a 3-hour drive of each other. So I was using my marketing skills, cold emailing every convention on their contact page, being like, my name's Danielle. I cosplay. Here are some photos of my cosplay. Here is what I could do for your con. I could do panels. I could judge your contest. I could run your contest. I could do all this stuff if you just give me a table. And then once I got more experience, I was like, and give me like a $100 appearance fee. And then once I got more experience, I was like $250.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As I started to get a better idea of what I should charge, but I just wanted to get my foot in the door at first. But I was doing that, and that's Patreon became a thing, and I was on Patreon doing like photo sets of all my costumes and like BTS and work in progress and stuff like that. And I was making just as much money as I was at the social media job, also with cosplay. Mm. So I was like dual income.
Nice.
No kids, but I was making dual income.
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah,
it was awesome. I was able to get boobs.
Hell
and
yeah.
Fama.
Hell yeah, brother. And you know what? Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you
for that. Thank you. And that was in 2018. And then I went to BlizzCon. In 2018, I had just done the Fan Expo circuit for the first time, feeling myself, and I went to BlizzCon in Anaheim, and I was standing in line, and I was almost to the front, and I got a call Friday, late Friday, from my social media job, and I answered it, and it was the HR lady at...
That's the worst.
It was a rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that the whole marketing department was getting outsourced.
Ugh.
Out of the country.
You were being fired.
Yeah.
You were being let go.
And they were...
Dang.
Getting rid of... They were gutting the marketing department. So everybody lost their job.
I don't even need you guys.
I know. I found out I was crying in the BlizzCon line, and Morgan LaFoy from because it was wrapping like this. It was like wrapping around, snaking. And so I was towards the front, and Morgan was like two lines away, but there was a gap and we could see each other. And she was trying to get my attention while I was on the phone, but I was actively getting let go from my job. And I was crying, and she couldn't tell. She was so far away. So she started taking photos of me and sending them to me on Facebook Messenger. So there are photos of me actively getting fired. She's documenting.
How have I not seen
the
these?
Worst time of my life at the time, and I'm like covering my mouth like, what do you mean I just lost my job? Because I had also moved to Orlando recently, and the person I was living with just lost their job.
We both
lost our jobs in a month. And we were like, how are we gonna make rent? And I was like, ha! And Morgan's like, ha ha, gotcha.
Oh my God. But she didn't realize too.
No. Yeah. No, it's a really funny story.
Oh, you need to post those.
I need to ask her if she still has them. Yeah. I'm sure she does. Yeah. They're in the archives somewhere. But then I was like, well, what do? I guess I'm just gonna cosplay now.
Yeah.
And I did.
Hell yeah.
From then on.
So from there, you lost your job and you just decided to go for it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you started a Patreon, or what'd you do?
I had Patreon already. That's how I was making...
The double income.
Yeah. But I was also streaming. I also did my print store. I was going to cons. I was doing it all.
Yeah. What year was this?
2018.
Dang. Right before I met you.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I said, I smell someone jobless. She should be my friend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then, yeah, I just kept doing
here
it.
Here you are.
And here we are.
Okay. To top it off, what do you think? Okay. We're going to do the highs and the lows. So your most crazy cosplay career story, like your most embarrassing or your most like derogatory, memorable experience, and then the most impactful experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you have those?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. Tell me them.
I'm sure that there's more, but the one that I think of when someone asks me like my most embarrassing or like worst cosplay mishap story, I was wearing a latex Zero Suit Samus suit.
Okay.
And it was the first time I'd ever worn latex. It was sent to me by a latex company. And I had a friend who told me that the way to put latex on was to use just a ton of baby powder. Okay. And not like, now I know you're supposed to like lube yourself.
Okay.
But I didn't do that. Okay. I was the opposite of lubing myself.
I put baby powder
all over myself. So I was very tight as well. So I put the latex suit on and I was a guest at Ocala Comic Con. And that was where I went to high school. So okay. I was seeing people for the first time that I went to high school with after like 6 years as a cosplay guest in a hotel in like a meeting room. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
It was a very weird experience. My dad came.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm one of two cosplay guests, me and Jennifer Ann. Mm-hmm. And I bend down, someone's buying a print, and I bend down to go grab my inventory, and my whole back starts ripping.
No.
From like my lower back dimples all the way up to the top of my shoulders.
This is your back.
Well, hold on now. So I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Dude, is that a breeze? And I'm like, Jen, is it ripping? She's like, oh my God, yeah, it's ripping. It ripped all the way up. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, I guess it's just the back. Maybe I'll just put a jacket on or something.
That's psychotic that you would think I'm just going to put a jacket on.
Okay, well, I agree.
That's your constitution thing.
Yeah,
this is like
grab the pliers,
pull out the needle.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound mean, but like that's just so you of being like, nah, we just got to power through. And I'm like, you simply could leave.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
So I'm like, my thought was to power through for approximately 5 minutes because then as I was signing the print and bending over, it started to rip on my shoulders as well. Both shoulders, like the arms were detaching.
What happened to you in that suit?
I don't know. I still don't know what would cause that. Like, I don't know latex enough to...
Crazy.
Yeah. But it started ripping on the shoulders. So now it was very visible and it was like disintegrating on my body. And I like... Look down at the arm, like the hands, the wrists started to detach as well.
This is a nightmare.
Yeah. The like belt area started to rip as well. Like the more I stood there, it was just everything started to come apart. And it was right before the costume contest, which is on a stage.
You did not go up there.
No, I didn't.
Okay, good. I can see you being like, it's fine.
I was debating going up there, like maybe it's fine. But once it started to rip in the front, in the middle, like where my stomach was, it was like a matter of time before they connected.
I feel like someone like cursed you.
Yeah,
with the like sexy Samus clothes fall off curse.
Yeah,
because it's
literally
like weird spots.
Oh no.
Oh, look at my outfit. It's
disintegrating. I can't believe it's ripping like this.
That's nuts. Yeah, and I don't usually latex doesn't rip unless it's like old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it has a hole.
Mm.
But the only thing I can think of is if it was like the latex glue.
Mm-hmm.
wasn't formulated well enough and it started to separate.
That it must be that.
Was it a hole or was it like the two cut pieces were coming apart?
The two cut pieces were coming apart.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is possible and crazy.
So there was about 5 minutes until the costume contest started. And I only had Android 18 besides the Samus costume. So I like ran up to my hotel room, changed as fast as humanly possible into a wig and everything, and like ran down to the costume contest and did it as Android 18. But it was close. Yeah. Because if that had happened like 10 minutes later when I was on stage with a microphone in front of a crowd of people that I went to high school with.
That would have been nuts.
It would have been really fucking
bad. Honestly, though, I think you would have been so viral that, like, later, it would have Rebecca Blacked you into, like, stardom.
I needed, like,
you'd be like, I'm starting my OnlyFans. And they're like, is that that girl whose clothes fell off at that comic book convention?
Yeah.
We've got to sign up.
Yeah, all like, the parents shielding their children's eyes. Like, no. They're too young.
That's crazy. I've never heard that story before.
Yeah, that was the craziest thing. And when I emailed the company and asked, like, I was like, hey guys, what's the deal?
Said, have you tried not being so fat?
They were like, it sounds like you just don't know how to use latex.
Whoa.
I was like, I didn't even tell you what happened. I just said it all ripped. So I never wore it again after that.
Name the company right here, right now.
I don't remember. I'm going to be honest with you. Damn I don't it. Even think they're around anymore.
Probably not.
But my best cosplay memory.
It can be like an I made it or like a, I don't know.
Yeah, I think doing the costume for Intel.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's just really cool. Yeah. It's cool to have that in my resume, you know, working, like doing an original design for Intel twice, three times. I don't remember.
Yeah. Those were sick.
Yeah. Being like a part of a launch, like a computer launch after being like a weird computer gamer for so long. And like, I loved Acer and Intel and I did activations for both of them.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Just getting to like make an original design based on their technology that I use all the time and then wear it and them really like it.
Yeah. They liked it so much. It would have been cool if you could get a laptop out of it because you need one now.
I do need one. I know, I do. I
gotta hit him up again and be like, hey guys, PAX is coming up.
Hey guys,
you need a new design.
Me.
Yeah.
That was the last thing I did before the whole world shut down, too.
No, you did it after because we were living together.
I did do it after. You're right, you're right.
It was like after the world shut down when it reopened, before the crash of the tech industry, where it was like, oh, we don't really – a lot of tech companies were kind of down on their budget after that and weren't, I think, really pushing those things anymore.
Yeah.
So it was sick though. I loved those.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing I've done for sure.
Yeah, I like those. I'm really shocked that you didn't say – the UGC story that we were going to say being your most embarrassing thing, but we can save that for the Patreon.
Yeah, I think we should. That's
we
embarrassing.
We have gone over so much. I don't know if Ryan's actually going to cut me going, oh my God, we only have 5 minutes left. But we are going to have some time in the Patreon. I think like 45 minutes, right? So if you're not a part of the Patreon, you better subscribe because we're going to yap some more and I'm going to make her tell her UGC story and it's so funny. So make sure that you subscribe. thank you so much for joining us today. It has been an absolute honor and pleasure. I had so much fun.
Me too. I'd like to come back.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll have our people talk. Can you go ahead and tell the audience your socials?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi, audience.
Where can we find you?
You can find me at Danielle DiNicola, which is DanielleDiNicola on most social medias besides Twitter.
We don't use that anymore.
Right.
I was literally going to say, thank God we don't use X.
What's that?
Yeah, thank God we don't use that anymore. Because hers is like D.
Yeah, it's Danielle DiNicola, but without the first E in my last name. Danielle DiNicola.
DiNicola. They said, we have a character limit here. Yeah. Don't get too crazy.
They did say that, my long-ass Italian mob name.
Yeah. Any upcoming projects you want to talk
Any
about?
Any upcoming projects?
I didn't time it well enough to talk about your voice acting career, but we're going to have to talk about in the Patreon. But you just did, is it Project Raise? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just released?
Yeah, it's the trailer just dropped. I got cast in it as a specter, which is a specific bad guy that is the sniper lady, mm-hmm. sniper lady robots Sick. That come to kill you throughout the game. Amazing. So all of their voice lines that are like, one shot, one kill. And like when they're like coming after you and they're like, you know,
you're Cortana,
like you'll vibes. Get turned to ash or whatever the fuck. That's me. That's going to be me. So that's exciting. My big goal this year, now it's 2026, is to play a game on stream that I have a voice in. Mm-hmm. So I'd like for any of the projects that I've voiced in to come out so that I can play them. And more cosplay.
Some Galaxy Cons here or there.
Yeah, Galaxy Con Richmond.
Yeah. Yay!
I'll be March. There too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us on our wonderful 50th episode. I feel like this might be my first and last time doing this job. So are you unemployed? Because you can take my job.
You know what? God damn it, I'm in.
A deal.
Join us next time. Bye, guys. Okay, Danielle. Yes. I've known you for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I think most recently, the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you
Yes,
has
it did.
Happened.
It did.
Please tell us the faithful UGC story.